I am so glad all of you ladies could come tonight in spite of tropical storms and and everything that's going on in the world right now. And it's also our last meeting of 2020, which is hard to believe. Here we are winding down almost to the holidays. Anyway, so I'm so glad y'all could all come tonight. I've really enjoyed listening to the testimonies of each of the ladies who have talked throughout the year. When Anna first asked me back in January to do this, I thought, ew, I don't like public speaking, you know? But then as I thought more about it, it occurred to me that sharing your testimony isn't really public speaking. I mean, it's not a teaching per se, because your testimony is sharing what God has done in your life. And that's irrefutable. I mean, it's something that has, you know, happened to you that God has done for you and with you or brought you through or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I think it's really important to be able to share your testimony with people. And anyway, so I said yes. And I think it's really important to share your testimony with people because it could be helpful to people, it could be encouraging, it could be uplifting, but I think we should always be prepared and be able to share our testimony. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 139:14, and the first part of it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And I feel like when you share your testimony, you're giving tribute and honor to God because he is the one that fearfully and wonderfully made you. So, for those of you, a couple of you have been in our house church before, and we have shared our testimonies in our house church over the years. We've done it a couple of different times as the, you know, the different members change and stuff like that. So we have shared our testimonies in our house church. So this will be a repeat for some of you, but that's okay. So I guess I will get started. In the beginning, 57 years ago, I am a native Floridian, and better yet, I'm a native Brevardian. I was born in what used to be the Wusthof Hospital in Rockledge. It has a different name now. My parents lived in Cocoa at the time when I was born. And I grew up in a very loving home, wonderful home. My mom was the greatest. She was my hero. She's like the nicest, sweetest person I know and the epitome of Southern hospitality. And my dad, he's a great man, excellent provider for our family. It was a very loving home. I have one brother. He's 14 months younger than me. And my grandparents, my mom's parents, always lived near us, so I was very close to my grandparents. And anyway, so my dad was raised Baptist, and my mom was raised Church of Christ. But our family, when we went to church, we always went to a Baptist church. Every year in the summer, we would go to Tennessee and Alabama on vacation because that's where my parents grew up and that's where all their family was. And we would usually stay with my great-grandmother, and she was Church of Christ. So when we were up there, we went to a Church of Christ church. So that's basically my denominational background, very traditional. So when I was about to start third grade, this was around 1970, my dad worked for NASA, and there was a big layoff in NASA, and my dad got laid off. So then he got a job with the FAA, and we had to move to Miami. So right before I started third grade, we moved down to Miami, South Miami. And the first couple of years that we lived there, I went to the local public school. And after that, my parents didn't really feel like the schools were very safe at that time, which I was just a little kid. I was very carefree. I never noticed anything like that. But nevertheless, they wanted to put my brother and me in a private school. So when I started fifth grade, we started going to a school in Homestead. It was called Colonial Christian School. It was a little school, like first through 12th grade. It was housed at a Baptist church down there. So when I started going there, we on Friday mornings we would have chapel in the church, and the different grades would come together, and we would have chapel. So it was at one of these chapel services where I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so that kind of began the journey and the growth. I went to school there for another couple of years until when I was in seventh grade, long about Thanksgiving, my dad got a transfer to the Melbourne Airport. And so we moved back up to this area, which was my parents' intention all along. They didn't want to, you know, live down there. They wanted to be up here. So anyway, Dad got a transfer. We moved up here. Let's see. Then kind of fast forward to when I turned 16, I was very anxious to get my driver's license. So on my 16th birthday, I got my driver's license. And at that point, I realized that I needed basically to take my faith into my own hands, to establish my own faith, not just the faith of my parents. So when I was able to drive, I started going to Harbor City Baptist Church that's in Melbourne. One of my really good friends from school went there, and some of the other girls that I knew from school went there. So I could drive myself. So I started taking myself to church. Not long after I started going to church there, you know, at the end of most Baptist services, you know, they'll have an invitation. And, you know, I'd already accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I was never baptized. So I went forward at one of those services, and I wanted to be baptized. So I was baptized and became a member of the church and all that kind of stuff. So not too long before that, Dean and I had started dating. And I actually knew of him before we ever met, because when we first moved to Melbourne, the girls that live next door to me went to school with him. And so I had heard of him. And his reputation preceded him, and that was in a good way, though. It was a very good way. I'd always heard that he was smart, and he was religious. And I thought, oh, these are two very good qualities, in my opinion. So anyway, I had heard of him before I ever met him. And then I met him through a mutual friend, not my next-door neighbors, but another mutual friend we met. And we were friends for like a year before we started dating. Dean was raised Catholic, and he went to Catholic school basically his whole life. He was born in Gainesville, and when they lived in Gainesville, his family went to a church that was basically a lot of the University of Florida students. You know, there was a lot of students that went there, and they were a group of charismatic Christians that were Catholic. So that's quite an interesting combination. But they were, you know, they were Christ followers, but they were charismatic and Catholic. So the charismatic stuff, you know, came naturally to Dean from a very young age. He went to Catholic school, like I said, pretty much his whole life. But his family left the Catholic Church when he was about a senior in high school and started going to St. John's Episcopal Church, which is in Ogalle also. But one of the really cool things that Dean introduced to me when we started dating was I was, you know, an introvert, you know, pretty quiet and shy. And I wasn't accustomed to praying out loud very much. I mean, at home, you know, we would pray before we ate and, you know, things like that. But as far as like praying out loud with other people, that really wasn't something that I did. I prayed a lot, but not, you know, out loud, like in public or whatever. But that came very naturally to Dean. And so when we would go on a date, we would always pray at the end of our date. So, you know, he would bring me back home. We would go up to the door. We'd pray together. And then he would leave. You know, that was part of a date. So he kind of like introduced me to like praying out loud. And so that was a good thing. While we were dating, and when his family was going to St. John's, I went with his family and a group of people from their church on a Links trip. And Links, it was also called Fellowship of Christians in Action. It was a group that was based in Titusville. It was like a Christian bus ministry. And the leader went to Park Avenue Baptist Church, but there were people involved from all different churches. It wasn't just Park Avenue. And they had a bunch of like Greyhound type buses that they converted and put bunks in and stuff like that so that they could take groups of people all over the place. But basically they'd go like to North Carolina or Tennessee. They would travel at night. People could sleep at night. And then you'd get up in the morning and you were somewhere to go do some kind of activity. And they did all kinds of stuff, like whitewater rafting, mountain climbing, rappelling, bicycling in Cades Cove, just all kinds. It was basically outdoorsy things, you know. So anyway, we went on this trip with a group of people from St. John's. Really cool, awesome ministry. And Dean just really got a heart for this group. So he started going on some other trips. Links, they would have a meeting once a week on Tuesday nights at a little Baptist church up in Port St. John. So he and I started going to those meetings, and they would talk about different trips, and they would have Bible studies, they would, you know, fellowship, pray together, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, we started going to their meetings. And Dean started driving for them, you know, just as a volunteer. That wasn't his job. When he was 18, so he was driving these big, like, Greyhound-type buses at 18. He loved it. You know, these trips, like, they would leave after work or school. He was in school at the time. On a Friday, he would, you know, go, go, go all weekend, get back early Monday morning, and then go back to school or go back to work. So, but he loved it. So anyway, he got involved in that, and when he was 21, he became a board member. He was like their youngest board member that they ever had with Links. And so we were, you know, I would go on some of the trips with them. We just got involved in that. And also they had what they called family life groups, which would be the equivalent of, you know, like our house church groups. Only since the people involved in Links were from different churches, the people in the groups were like from all over the county, basically. But we got involved in one of the groups. The leaders lived in Cocoa, in North Cocoa. We met on Sunday nights. We met every week. We had like two families from Cocoa. We had a family from Titusville. We had a couple of families from Melbourne. So we would travel to each other's house. We would rotate. We would, whoever's house it was at would prepare dinner. We'd have dinner and we'd have Bible study, we'd have prayer time, all that kind of stuff. So we started doing that with them on Sunday nights and then had our regular Links meetings on Tuesday nights. And it was just a great time of growth for both of us. The people were awesome. They were wonderful. Like I said, they were from all different churches, but definitely Christ followers. Really good example to us. We weren't even married at the time. Really good example, you know, for young people, stuff like that. Our leader's wife, June Leet, she was like a mentor to me. She's actually older than my parents, but she was just so grounded. She was a great mom and a great wife, and definitely a Christ follower. She was just a really good mentor to me. So anyway, when Dean and I got engaged, I was still going to Harbor City Baptist, and he was still going to St. John's. So then we had to decide, where are we going to get married? Where are we going to go to church, you know? And basically, I made the decision that we should go to St. John's for really a very unspiritual reason. But I don't know, you've probably never seen this church. It's a beautiful little church. Have you seen it? Okay. Well, the front part of it is well over 100 years old, and it's like all beautiful wood and stained glass windows, beautiful, quaint, you know, kind of small, quaint and everything. I thought, this place would make great wedding pictures. I think we should get married at this church. Okay, so that's not a very spiritual reason, but nevertheless, Dean's family was very involved there. The people were all super nice, you know, very welcoming, very kind. So anyway, that was, the decision was made. We were going to get married at St. John's. And after we were engaged and we made that decision, I started going to church there with him and his family and all. I was confirmed in the Episcopal Church, and on May 3rd, 1986, we got married 34 years ago. And marrying Dean, it was, to me, like a dream come true. Even as a little girl, I had always dreamed of being a housewife and a mom. That was just, I was never career oriented. I don't know if it was because my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she was a very happy and content housewife and mom. I don't know if it was that example or what, but I just feel like God put it in my heart, that's what I wanted to be. And I just felt so blessed because Dean was really on board with that. And maybe it was because his mom, you know, was, you know, a stay-at-home mom too. But anyway, I just felt like that was an answer to prayer because God sent me a man who allowed me to fulfill those dreams, I guess you would say. And he encouraged me in that. And he facilitated in making those dreams come true for me. And that was an incredible blessing. So after we got married, we attended St. John's for another like year and a half. And at the time, I was working at Harris. And my boss was going to Lockmar Baptist Church at the time. It was a new church, and he had started going to it. And another one of the ladies that worked in our group, she was going to that church too, and they invited us to come. And so we did, and we really liked it. There was a lot of young people, which is nice, because like at St. John's, it was more of an older congregation. But at Lockmar, there was a lot of like young married people our age and stuff. So anyway, we really liked that church, so we started attending Lockmar Baptist. And one thing that I really liked about it is that it was like a less traditional Baptist church. They were more open to things of the Spirit. You know, I knew about the Holy Spirit, and I knew about the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that, but the churches that I had been to, you know, they acknowledged it, but you didn't really see a lot of that, you know, in the church services and stuff like that. But at Lockmar, it was less of that traditional kind of Baptist church. They were more open to things of the Spirit. And we just really loved that church and loved the people there. We were involved in a Sunday school class that was, you know, a bunch of young marrieds. It was just a really good growing time for us. I got involved in several ministries, children's ministry and the teller committee, and I was their treasurer for a year or two. And after we stopped going to the Lynx Home Fellowship Group, we started going to Home Fellowship Group with that church. So, you know, we got real involved, did a lot of things there. While we were at Lockmar, both of our daughters were born. We have two daughters. Jennifer was born in 1991, Allison in 1993. They're all grown up now, but we dearly love them. They were just like the greatest. We were always very involved with, you know, them as they're growing up and still are now. Anyway, they have been a total blessing in our lives. So we were very happy there at Lochmar. All was going well. I was comfortable. That's probably a bad thing. because when you get comfortable, then all of a sudden God rocks your world. So after we'd been there for like 8 years, God spoke to Dean and told him that it was time for us to leave because basically we had stopped growing. And there was nothing wrong with the church. We loved the church. We loved the people. We loved the pastor. There was no problem, but God was speaking to Dean and telling him it was time for us to make a move because there was more that he wanted us to learn, I guess, or do. So at that time, the girls were very young, and I really didn't want to visit churches, you know, and move them from nursery to nursery that I wasn't familiar with. So I just told Dean, you go find the church, and when you find the right church, we will come, you know. So that's what he did. He went out, he visited a couple of churches. One of the churches he visited was here. It was called New Covenant Fellowship at the time. And his sister, Denise Huberbacher, and John, and their family were already coming here at that time, and one of his older brothers, Dave, and his family were already coming here. And I knew in my heart of hearts that that is where he would pick to come. And by golly, if he didn't. So after he visited around places, prayed about it, he said, this was the church for us. So I'm like, okay. So we left Lochmar under very good terms and all. They sent us out well. And in August of 1996, we started coming to church here. So the first year that we were attending church here was very hard for me. It was a big adjustment. I was not used to a church that was so openly charismatic. I know us going to Lochmar was like a baby step, you know, to lead up to this, but this was like really different than I was used to. Dean was totally comfortable with it because, like I said, back when he was a small boy, you know, he was used to a charismatic church. He had no problems. It was really tough for me. But I came. Every week I came and I was thinking, oh God, what is going to happen today? But I kept coming. So anyway, then one Sunday, Chris and Claire Huck were here. They were the guest speakers, and any of you that have been here for a long, long time, you know who they are, who they were, who they are. Anyway, so they were here speaking one Sunday, and at the end of the service, they asked for anyone who wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or anyone that... didn't speak in tongues and wanted to speak in tongues, anyone that wanted to come up for prayer for any of those things to come up. Well, I knew they were talking to me. I did not want to go up, but I knew I had to. So I did. I went forward and they prayed for me and I immediately received the gift of speaking in tongues. And that was like a major turning point in my walk with the Lord because my whole attitude, my whole outlook, everything changed at that point. I didn't dread coming to church anymore. I actually looked forward to coming to church. Every week, instead of thinking, oh God, what's going to happen this week? I was like, oh God, what is going to happen this week? It was totally different, and it was exciting. And I came to church with expectation, and I was expecting God to do something awesome every time I came. So that was, like, huge. So now we have been here for 24 years, New Covenant Fellowship, Church on the Rock. I've grown in my walk with the Lord in many, many ways. Even now, after being here all these years, I still feel like I'm challenged. You know, when I come and I hear the sermons, I still feel like I'm growing. So I know we're still in the right place, you know. I brought, do y'all know what a little Gumby is? It's this little bendy toy, really old toy. I had to order it on Amazon. I couldn't even find it in Walmart or Target or anything. Since we have been coming to church here these past 24 years, I have felt like a Gumby. I have felt like I have been stretched. But I've never fallen apart. It's always been good. But this little Gumby guy, he's kind of like my mascot for walking with the Lord, because I just feel like God is always stretching me. But it's in a good way. It's in an exciting way, because I'm constantly learning and growing. And since we've been here, I've been part of different groups, different ministries that have facilitated in my walk with the Lord. One of the very first ones, actually, was there used to be a homeschool that was housed in the north wing of the church, and it was New Covenant Christian School. And about the time we started coming to this church, Jennifer was about to start kindergarten. And I had always just assumed that we would put her in a Christian school, because I didn't have any intention to put her in a public school. So I just always thought we were going to put her in a Christian school, you know. But it was time for her to start school, and I already had three sister-in-laws who were homeschooling at the time. And so Dean said, "Why don't you try homeschooling?" I thought, okay, I'll try it. You know, just thinking, oh, we'll just take it a year in time. We'll try it and see how it goes. But as it turned out, I wound up homeschooling both girls from kindergarten through 12th grade. Homeschooling, that was a huge stretch for me. It was an awesome experience. I'm so glad I did it. I'm so glad I had the time with the girls and could create a really good relationship with them. And the two girls have a good relationship with each other and all. So that was a real growing experience. Let's see. Since I've been here, in the beginning, the girls were young, so we were, Dean and I were both involved in children's ministry. And I did that for a long time until I, for some strange reason, I decided I wanted to be an usher. I don't know. I've never heard of anybody in my life ever like, I want to be an usher. But God laid it on my heart. I really wanted to be an usher. But the two jobs kind of, you know, it was a conflict. And it took me a while to get up the courage to actually stop doing children's ministry. Because, you know, sometimes when you walk, you know, when you leave a ministry, you feel like, you know, you feel like you're walking out on them or quitting or something. And it really wasn't that. I just felt called to something else. But anyway, Dean finally said, you just got to do it, because, you know, I had talked about it for quite some time. So I've been doing ushers ever since then. When we first started coming here, our church didn't have a teller committee, and I had been doing that. That's, if you don't know, that's the people that count money, you know. And our church didn't have anything like that. I think it was just the people that collected the offering counted the money or something like that. So anyway, I helped set up that committee, and I've been doing that ever since, and I love that job. And, you know, I've been on FOC, gone to ladies' Bible studies for years, first at Bonnie's home. She had a ladies' Bible study I went to for many years, and after that disbanded, I started coming here to Anna's ladies' Bible study. So there's been all of these different like groups that I've been involved in, and I've learned things from every single group. You know, it's just so cool to get to be in close fellowship with, you know, smaller little groups. So even though there's been all of these groups, I still feel like that house churches have been the place where I have grown the most because, you know, way back before we were married, we were in that group with Lynx, and then at our previous church, and then we've been in two or three different house churches since we've been here, and just having the fellowship of a small little group and getting to know them better and being able to share life with them and have them to pray for you and you to pray for them, and that's just had a big impact on our lives. And I really feel like any kind of small group, it doesn't have to be a house church per se, but it could be, you know, other kind of ministry groups, you know, like the worship team or the food pantry or just any kind of small group, I think is so beneficial because, you know, like on Sunday mornings when you're here at church and you're busy and you're running around and you can say hi to people and stuff, but you don't really get that close fellowship. So we've just really found it beneficial to be a part of, you know, house churches or other kinds of, you know, smaller ministry groups where you can really get to know the people. So I also feel like with house churches or smaller groups, not only do you get to know people on a more personal level, it helps you to become more involved in the church, in the ministries of the church, for growth, outreach, and such for the church itself. It provides us with accountability, which is a big one. You know, that can really help you, you know, if you get out in left field or they get out in left field, you know, to kind of bring someone back to their primary focus, which should be the Lord, you know. So accountability is good. You can be a blessing to other people. They can be a blessing to you. I just had to put a little plug in there because we firmly believe in house churches. So, okay. Another thing that has really helped to ground me in my walk with the Lord is just basically surrounding myself with people who will be uplifting, who will encourage me, who will challenge me when I need to be challenged, people who will nudge me and sometimes even have to push me to accomplish my dreams or my goals, or even more importantly, what God has laid on my heart to do, you know, because God speaks to you and sometimes you're not sure if that, you know, am I supposed to do this, am I not, but surrounding myself with people who can really encourage me in that, that is huge. And our family has been a big part of that, and our church family has been a big part of that. Another thing is priorities. I try to constantly remind myself of my priorities, because in the busyness of life, sometimes things get out of whack, but obviously God is always first. And family is very important to me. I was raised in a very close-knit family environment, and my family has always been very important to me. Dean, of course, number one in the family range, and the kids and their spouses, and their spouses' moms, Ruth being one of them, and Donna, and my dad is still living, so, you know, that's like my little family group. So they're like my first ministry group, I guess you would say. I always like to be able to be available for them because I feel like family needs to be there for family. And I know different families have different dynamics, and some people don't even live close to family. But since I am blessed to live close to my immediate family, I really like to make them a priority. And then after my family, of course, there's the church family and the house church family, you know. And I like to, you know, reach out and minister and help or whatever as much as possible. Even when, like I said, my dad is still living. Our other three parents have passed away, like in the last, say, 5.5 years. But before their health deteriorated, I had just like finished up homeschooling the kids, and I feel like it was a tremendous blessing that I was available to get to spend time with them. I, you know, basically to kind of give back to your parents because they did so much for you and raised you and all that. And I was really glad with each of the parents that I was able to spend time with them. So, as you probably know, there are so many needs out there. You know, there are just so many needs. And each morning before Dean goes to work, he and I pray together. And always my prayer is, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do for whom today? You know, because I'm a very planned and a very organized person usually, and I have my days planned, you know, before my feet hit the floor. But then I pray this, and so many times God has just like totally changed my plan. And that's kind of, that's been a stretching thing for me because, you know, I have this list of things that I want to get done. And if I don't get them done, I'm like, ah, you know. But the things that God lays on my heart to do are so much more important. You know, ministering to other people is so much more important than my bathrooms getting clean today. They can get clean tonight or tomorrow or whatever. You know, the people are the more important things. So anyway, that has been a real stretching thing. So anyway, at this point in our lives, like I said, both of our girls are grown, they're married, we're empty nesters. So we have, I guess you would say, we have more time to be able to reach out to others outside our family. But I have found, you know, even when the kids were young and stuff like that, even though you don't have a lot of time, you know, at that point in your life, little things mean so much to people, you know. Just phone calls, you know, reaching out to someone who hasn't been to church in a while. Phone calls or texts or sending them a card or taking someone cookies or, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Things that seem so little really are huge. So anyway, I wanted to mention a verse that I remind myself of basically daily. Galatians 6:9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So in the busyness of life, you know, if I'm doing all of these things that I think need to be done and God throws something into my heart or mind that I need to do for someone else, I always come back to this, not to grow weary in doing good, because like I said, I just feel like that is so much more important than any agenda that I ever have for my days, you know. So even when I'm tired, even if I feel unqualified, inadequate, you name it, or even if I just have something that I want to do, but if that's not what God wants me to do, I have learned and am still learning to set what I want to do aside so that I can do His will and His purposes, because there's so much more blessing in that. I have found that this verse that I just read to you, I've found that it's been very inspiring to me, and it also really redirects my focus to God instead of on me or what I want to do, because it's really not all about me. It's really all about Him and what He wants to do through me. So that's pretty much what I had to say as far as where I'm at today. This is just a little side story because since Praise and Worship was short, I'll just throw this in. Some of you already know about this, but, you know, I was saying earlier about how I feel like when God brought Dean into my life, that was like an answer to prayer. It was like a dream come true, not a dream like I had while I was sleeping, but a heart's desire type dream. So, you know, in life you have all kinds of things like that that come up. But in more recent years, I had this dream. Like I said, not a dream, a heart's desire dream, that I would really like to see us and our children all live in close proximity to each other. So this came to me a few years ago. And I never said anything to anybody about it because I thought, why would my kids, now that they're grown and out on their own, why would they want to live close to us or, you know, their parents? Why would they want to do that? So I never said anything. I didn't even say anything to Dean about it. It was just a desire that I had in my heart. And so then after a period of time, I said something to Dean about it. Well, he is crazy about his girls, so he was, like, totally on board right away. He's like, oh, that would be so awesome type thing, you know. And actually, he's been wanting to move out of the house that we are in right now since before Allison got married. And I kept telling him, no, I don't want to move until she, you know, she's our younger one, until she's married and out of the house, you know, type thing. So he's had a desire to move for a while. Not away, just move out from the house that we're in. So anyway, so Dean and I, you know, thought about that, prayed about that for a while. And then one night when we were having dinner with the girls and their husbands, I just kind of threw that out, you know, just to kind of get a feel of what they might say. And to my astonishment, they loved the idea. Not just the girls, but the guys. And that's what really floored me, you know, that the guys would even entertain the thought of living close to their in-laws. Anyway, so they all loved the idea. And so at that point, Dean started looking around for property. And we really like the location of where we live, but there was just nothing like in our price range anywhere near there. So Dean was like looking all over the place. He saw this piece of property out on Grant Road. He looked at it. We talked to a realtor about it, but at that point he didn't think that we should pursue it because it was way more money than we were really thinking about spending on just a piece of property. So he put that aside and he kept looking. Really nothing was fitting all of the qualifications that we had in our minds, you know. And then all of a sudden this property, like, it came back up. It never sold. It came back up, and it was less money and this and that and another. So he started pursuing it again. And so after much negotiations and deliberations and you name it, almost exactly a year ago, we closed on the property. And it's 5 lots. It's 6 3/4 acres. And three of the lots front on Grant Road. And one of my son-in-laws had to have land that was on a paved road. So so we bought the land, and we are currently in the process of building a house out there. I can't believe it's happening. It's really exciting. And each of the girls and their husbands are building next to us. And like I said, it's just getting started, but it is truly a dream come true. I can't say that it's like my dream house. I think it's going to be a cool house, but we're basically downsizing because we're getting closer to retirement and we don't want to take care of all that stuff, you know. So we're basically downsizing, but it's a dream situation. It's not a dream house. It's a dream situation. Just knowing that the kids are close by, if they need us or we need them, you know, we're in close proximity. And And I don't plan on seeing them any more than I see them now. I want them to live their lives. I want us to live our lives, you know, type thing. But just knowing they're there just makes my heart happy. So anyway, God is in the business of granting your dreams and your heart's desires. If there is something that he really lays on your heart, even if it does not seem possible, just keep praying into it because it'll happen. So anyway, that's just a little side story because we had extra time and I'm really excited about it. So I thought that I'd share that with you.